Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and Glineos, the Glazers are ruining Manchester United. You might see journalists this morning, the old client journalists talking about ex-players, talking about how many times Michael Carrick's been to watch the youth. But Manchester United, factually, are getting worse. That's why we've got news this morning on the protest, but also, as importantly, that the factual decline of Manchester United. We're down to 8th. In the world list of revenue, and we're out the bottom. We're out the top four in the Premier League. Embarrassing detail against Manchester United this morning, and yet there are still people there ready to sing songs about buses and Michael Carrick and watching the youth. And are we going to keep Bruno for another year? And you know, let's blame it all on Amorim. And the reality is, the football club is sinking like a bloody brick to the bottom of a swimming pool. It really is. And we're going to delve into that this morning because wake up, wake up. Also, another story coming out that Sir Jim Ratcliffe's impressed with Michael Carrick. I mean, we're stunned by that. We're stunned by that, aren't we? Fans can be impressed by Michael Carrick. Fans can jump on the bandwagon. Fans can consider giving him the job. But Sir Jim Ratcliffe can't. You can't do that, mate. We've been down this road before. One game and you're impressed by Michael Carrick. Of course you are, because he'd probably do the job for free. You can get yourself a load of bloody champagne, couldn't you? They're sinking the bloody club and they need calling out. But this morning, we've got facts behind it, because we can factually tell you that with the release of Deloitte's Football Money League report, Manchester United are down to 4th in the Premier League for revenue. Liverpool are top with £702 million. Man City are second with £700 million. Arsenal are third with £690 million. And Manchester United are way down in fourth with £667 million. We are dropping, and it's going to drop even more, because that's revenue for 24-25 when we were actually in the Europa League. Can you imagine what the next one's going to be for 25-26? We're only playing 40 games, the least amount of games we've played since 1913. It's going to get worse, people. It is going to get worse. Also, I can tell you, in relation to worldwide Man United's ranking, in 2017, we were number one in the world for total revenue and global rank. That went down to third in 2018. It went down to fourth in 2020. It went down to fifth in 2021. And then this year, we're down to eighth. Look, Man United's a business. Manchester United is a business. We know that. But it's a failing business. We're failing on the pitch. You know, you can project the most important thing, which is when Sir Alex Ferguson retired, we were number one. Who wants to plot a graph on what United have done? Maybe someone can write it down in the live chat and I'll read it out. Read down our league position since Sir Alex Ferguson left, because I guarantee it's been up and down and 8th and 15th and 2nd and 4th and 5th and 6th and all that shit. We know that we are falling apart on the football pitch and have been for 13 years. But we're also falling apart financially as well. The thing that they're here for, they're actually bad at. Manchester United are dropping like a brick in a swimming pool, like I say, in relation to our revenue. And you know what? How are they going to change this? How are they going to change this? We've just spent half a season out of Europe, and that doesn't take into account that. We're also looking to build a stadium, which we're going to throw debt into the club. And you think we're going to go out there and start buying world-class players and recruiting world-class managers and go for it? You know where this is going to go. Spin, 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 spin. We are walking to the end of a January transfer window. I thought about this just before I went live. And I thought, you know what? At the start of the January transfer window, The main thing everybody was angry about was we better go in the January transfer market and sign someone. We better sign somebody in the January transfer market. We better show some ambition to go and get fourth place, which is clearly there. That was at the start of the window. Now, we're not buying anyone. We haven't even got the manager here anymore. We've got an interim manager and we're not buying everybody. And Wilcox has won. Because at the start of the window, it was like, we're not buying anybody. And here we are at the end of the window. Well, we haven't got a manager anymore. We've got an interim and we haven't bought anybody. Because they've won. Because they bloody won again, haven't they? And what are fans talking about? I'm fed up with ex-players and I can't believe Amorim didn't go and watch the youth. Sometimes you worry about the general intelligence of this fan base. You really do. Because you start a month going, the only thing that matters is putting pressure on the board to buy somebody for Amorim in January. And we're now sat there without Amorim, without any signings. Oh, Carrick went to watch the youth again. And, oh, God, I wish Paul Scholes and Nicky Butt would stop talking. Oh, God, you know, I got sent another clip of some twats on the radio. Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes. And you're like, shut up, you uneducated fools. Why aren't you talking about what we're talking about? Why aren't you talking about the factual degradation of Manchester United? Why aren't you talking about the fact that year on year we're getting worse? Why aren't you talking about the fact that Manchester United are getting worse? Or do you actually wallow in it? Do you actually enjoy it? Do you actually like being part of the bloody spin cycle where you protect that for your own good? Because something sinister is going on, isn't there? And it should be called out. I mean, it's not acceptable. We know that Man United's run like a bloody business. We know it's run like a business. I would expect, if we're not going to be good on the pitch, we might be top of the league for revenue. You know, we might be performing well financially. We're not. We're actually getting worse. The absolute mic drop here is, if we'd never been bought by the Glazers, we'd be top of the revenue and we'd be top of the league. That's the frustrating thing. We'd actually be top of the league for revenue and top of the league for performance if we'd never been bought by the Glazers. Because they've sunk the club. You know, we're making, what, £650 million a year in revenue. Real Madrid are making a billion. 10 years ago, we were competing with Real Madrid for, like, number one in the world. They're nearly double the revenue what we're doing. And I couldn't give a toss about the money side of football. I really couldn't. I know it's a big part of it, but I want to be good on the pitch. But they're not even performing in relation to financials. And actually, before we get into some other bits, please somebody tell me how this gets better. How is this going to get better, right? It's not a blip. Roll out Omar Berada. He's not in a wheelchair, but you know what I mean. Like, get him out and Omar Berada, the CEO of Manchester United, can tell us, one, how we're going to get back to the top of English football, but two, how we're going to get back to the top of being, you know, the most lucrative club in the league. It's embarrassing. We can't sit there and say, we're Manchester United, we've got a big fan base. Well, clearly that's not working, isn't it? I mean, we have got a massive fan base and you still can't make as much money as Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal. So, you know, what does that mean? We've got a huge fan base. We've probably got a bigger fan base than those clubs. But you can't get the money out of them, can you? Because you're failing. You're failing. You've got an open goal. An open goal, and you can't actually make Man United the number one revenue producing club in the league, even though we've probably got the biggest fan base. Because you're crap at your job. And how are you going to turn that round, Omar? What are you going to do? Bump up the season ticket prices and skim off the fans that actually are loyal to the club? Release another replica kit that's something to do with the legend? You know, maybe you can, you know, get another kit out that looks a little bit like a kit that we won in 20 years ago. What is your plan? Because the plan of most of us would be to invest in the team, make it good, have a manager that's good, have players that are good, climb up the league, get in the Champions League, increase revenue, and people will buy more stuff. I mean, that's football. That is football. Simple. What are you going to do? No. Cut our cloth accordingly, employ learner drivers, look long-term, and continue to fail and sink the club. And you know where we sit here now? Going back to what I said before about we want signings in January so that we can get Champions League football. The fans want signings in January so we can get Champions League football. They don't want signings in January so they can go and buy a shirt with the name on the back. We want signings in January so we can get Champions League football. Champions League football earns more money. You're happy, we're happy. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to listen to that rubbish. Sack the manager, get an interim. That's what we're going to do. Spend the money on an interim. Spend the money on sacking a manager. And you sort of look at it and you go, the chances of us getting into Europe are probably 50-50 in relation to the Champions League. It's probably 50-50, although Liverpool did look very good last night and, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with Chelsea. So we probably got a 50-50 chance of getting into the Champions League. And we're not spending anything in January. We're waiting until the summer. If we don't get into the Champions League, the revenue report that's come out this morning is for 24-25, not 25-26, because you can't do 25-26. It's halfway through the year. So we're talking about Man United. How many games did we play last year? I would hazard a guess in excess of 50, maybe 55, maybe more. So we're going to play 40 this year. We're playing 15 games less this year than we did last year. And last year, we were in fourth place by a long way for revenue. What I can tell you, next year, we're going to be even worse based on this season's revenue. So if we don't qualify for Europe, you know the next 2 years of our revenue report is going to be worse than it is now, and it's shit now. So how are they turning this around? How are you increasing the revenue at Man United? I want to know these questions. You may as well bin off every Man United journalist if they're not going to ask this question. How are you going to improve the revenue at Man United when we've already seen last year's revenue report and it's crap, and we already halfway through this year know it's going to be worse? How are you going to improve this revenue? How are you going to improve Man United? You absolutely amazing, we must all bow down to you, you amazing business people. How are you going to improve it? Because I tell you what, I don't think you know football at all. You probably know bloody finance. You probably know spreadsheets. You know petrochemicals. You know about getting your money off your dad, but you know nothing about football because you ain't turning this ship around. You're not going to do it. You're not going to suddenly increase Man United's revenue from 650 million a year to 750 million a year with what you're doing. Continually sacking managers, recruiting directors of football who haven't got a bloody clue and don't know their arse from their elbow. You know, an ex-Manchester City COO who spent most of his time just writing checks because that's what they did. He didn't deal with a club that was run by prats, did he? What experience has he got in, you know, turning a football club around that's massively in debt and has got morons running it? He worked at a club where his owners were like, I want to be the best, let's write a cheque. That's not Man United. Omar Berardo has got to be the worst recruitment. He's arguably worse than Wilcox because his experience is, we want to be the best, let's write a cheque. He's now at Man United, we want to be the best, let's not write a cheque. So I don't get how we're coming back from this financially. And the finance of Man United goes hand in hand with the football because we've got owners that are bothered about finance. And the only thing I can see that's going to happen is that we're going to build a stadium that's going to make it more restrictive. And we're going to get worse and worse. We're going to get worse and worse. And even if even if Carrick ends up being the next Sir Alex Ferguson, how are you going to fund it? How are you going to fund it? I don't know. And it's pitiful. It's pitiful because Real Madrid have never really been massively more lucrative than Man United in the Premier League era. But they're nearly double now. They're at a billion revenue and we're at 650 million. And they don't even play in the Premier League. Florentino Perez is desperate to create a Super League because he's jealous of the Premier League. We're in the Premier League and we're still nearly half the revenue that they're making. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing what they've done to Manchester United. As I say, I'm not interested in the brand and the money, but it's an absolute open goal to make money out of Man United. It's absolutely simple and they failed at it in a very, very big way. So anyway, we'll move on because I want to talk about this Carrick story. But there is something I just wanted to bring in and I should have brought this in earlier because it probably works bringing it in next. So I think it was Simon Stones wrote this. The 1958 group expects in excess of 5,000 fans to join their protest ahead of the game against Fulham on the 1st of February, which is Sunday, isn't it? Are we playing on a Sunday or are we playing on a Saturday? I don't know. What's the date today? 22nd, 23rd is Friday. Yeah, it is a Sunday. No, it's a Saturday. What? Oh, come on. This is, I blame the Glazers. You should know the answer to this. I don't even know what time we're kicking off against Fulham, and I don't even know what day it is. We are playing Fulham on Sunday. It is a Sunday at 2 o'clock. I thought it was a Sunday. So they are expecting in excess of 5,000 people to turn up for the protest ahead of the game against Fulham. And Simon Stone writes this. They view Sir Jim Ratcliffe as a target for their frustration now, in addition to the Glazer family. Good. Sir Jim Ratcliffe chose to get in bed with the Glazers and, in our opinion, is helping to keep them in charge. 21 years of a debt mountain, mismanagement and financial greed is 21 years too long. So we protest not just against the Glazers, but now against Ineos and Ratcliffe, a man once seen by many, including ourselves, as a possible saviour, a beacon of hope, but now revealed as complicit in the ongoing erosion of everything that makes our club what it is. It's sad, isn't it? It is sad. And I actually respect the honesty there. Because I think while some of us never wanted Sir Jim Ratcliffe, that doesn't mean we would say, I told you so, because we are a fan base. And, you know, if people accept they're wrong, they should be welcomed back in. I think there was a lot of people that didn't want the guitar model, and that was their right. And they wanted Sir Jim, maybe because of his local connections, lifelong fan, British, whatever. They wanted Sir Jim. A lot of people wanted Sir Jim. And, as that statement says, absolutely exactly, he is not a beacon of hope. He is not a possible saviour. And he has been revealed as complicit in the ongoing erosion of everything that makes our club what it is. He is in bed with the Glazers. He is a Glazerite. He is. And he could easily, in the last 2 years, have refused that, and challenged that, you know. Sir Jim Ratcliffe could pick up the phone tomorrow and do an interview with Simon Stone or whoever and say, no. But the, you know, what can't speak can't lie. We've seen what they've done to the football club. And again, today, we see again the failings of the finances. It's like, it's terrifying. It's terrifying what they actually think. It's like, let's reduce the wage bill, buy young players. And then you look at the revenue and you look at what's happening on the pitch and you go, you haven't got a clue. Right, I'm going to say this, right? Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the people he's appointed haven't got a clue. I actually think we were slightly better under the Glazers. And that's saying something. And I can't stand what the Glazers have done to this football club. I'm not praising them in any way, shape or form. We're talking about different shades of shit. But I actually think we were better off 2 years ago where we were then than where we are now. What he has done with the Glazer, and it's not just Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Joel Glazer is still there. That's why he's on the thumbnail. He is still there making decisions. But without a doubt, Ineos and the Glazers together are worse than it was with just the Glazers. It's shocking. He's not a lifelong fan. I would argue that to his face. I'd say you're not a lifelong fan because you've done, if you were a lifelong fan, you would put what being a Man United fan is ahead of what you've done to this football club. You've put your own personal interest and your own personal money at the forefront of this project. You have not put yourself forward as a Man United fan. Everything you've done is about business. Bad business, but business. You have not done anything that a Man United fan would have done in your 2 years at this club.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And if you have, you've got no idea about football. Your recruitment in the board and in managers is shocking. Your decision making is shocking. And what you've done to the very fabric of this football club is shocking. You're going to be the guy that knocked Old Trafford down as well. Some people agree with that. Some people don't. So he has to be involved in the protests, and shame on those people in the summer that attacked the 58 for doing the protests. You know, I know content creators who did videos calling out the 58 saying they shouldn't be doing it. Well, are they going to do apology videos now? I could start naming them people if you want. Doing videos, actually taking a pop at the 58 for doing a protest and including Sir Jim Ratcliffe in it. Oh, they won't be doing that now. They'll be doing their little hipster videos about, you know, this, that and the other. They won't be apologising to the 58 and calling them out for doing that protest and including Sir Jim Ratcliffe because we thought we were going to get belabour. No, you'll just be doing your little hipster videos, won't you? You should be apologising. You were wrong. accept you're wrong. I've done it multiple times. Multiple times I've apologised to this community for being wrong. I didn't think Rashford had gone out on the piss. I was wrong. We could have had this protest in at the start of season. And it was stopped by certain people jumping on a bandwagon that we shouldn't do it because we're signing Belabor. Well, here we are. It's happening now. That's good. Everyone should get behind it this time because it's 6 months too late. And they were ridiculed and lambasted and called out for doing that. And they were right. They were right to include Sir Jim Radcliffe. They were ahead of the game. And we've wasted 6 months. We need to get on it now because Sir Jim is a Glazer and the Glazers are Sir Jim. And they are sinking this football club. There is nobody, whether you're watching this live or not, who can give us a statement or one area where we go, well, you know what? I think we're a bit premature. I think things might turn around. There isn't. I can only see worse. And even if you want to focus on the financials, if we're fourth place in the Premier League now for revenue, a long way behind Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, that's based on last season. What's it going to be this season? It's going to be worse. It's going to be way worse. Let me read some of your comments. Ahmet says, non-negotiable urgency of restructure is imminent. Hope you're well, Mark, says Daniel Thompson. The greatest thing the devil ever did was make you believe he never existed when all along they were hiding in plain sight. Unfortunately, it's what Sir Jim Radcliffe has turned out to be. Real Madrid are government funded. No comparison, says Andy Hart. No, mate, you might want to go and understand finance. We're not talking about government funded. Man City are funded by... I always get it wrong. Is it Abu Dhabi? We're talking about revenue. The government don't chuck revenue into Real Madrid. Whether they're funded or not, revenue is what they make from TV deals, success, merchandise. Revenue is not funded by, you know, Abu Dhabi or Saudi or anything like that. I think this is good news. The more the club loses value commercially, the more the owners lose their investments and interest in the club. Clowns running this club will only accelerate the process, says Ami. Look, I was talking to Terry the other day and he was saying if we don't qualify for Europe, no Man United fan should buy any merchandise in the summer. I said, all they've got to do, there are so many aggregators out there that start leaking the new kit. I'm surprised they haven't done it yet. You know, that we'll have record sales even if we get relegated. Like, you're not going to stop that. But we are the revenue. As Neil Fish says, the fans are the revenue. And if the fans start turn the tap off, you know, maybe don't buy a Man United top. You know, maybe put it towards your holiday fund and wear this season's kit. I mean, look, there's lots that can be done, but we're failing on the pitch and we're failing off the pitch. Nick P says, failing financially is great news. That's all they've ever cared about anyway. They can't flog a dead horse anymore, so may as well sell and move on. Success on the pitch also translates to success off the pitch. And as we're failing on the pitch, we're also failing off the pitch, says Henry. Look, I know we're talking about Glinios here, but we've had many a chat over the years about the Glazers. And the one thing I can never understand about the Glazers, and it really does show their lack of football knowledge, is that they've had people like Sir Jim Radcliffe, Sir David Brailsford, Ed Woodward, Richard Arnold, all these people around them, and they want to make money. Why has nobody ever said to them, you know, if you spend a little bit, you'll make a lot more? You know, if you have a successful team, you'll make a lot more. They've never figured that out. They've never figured it out. I'm amazed anyone believed the mystery signing news. When has anything come out of the club been a mystery, says J-Box. I think we will get Champions League and become better over time, says Charlie. You know what, Charlie? I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. But if we qualify for the Champions League, I look at teams like Newcastle. I look at teams like Tottenham. And I think, how the hell is this squad going to deal with Premier League and the Champions League? The Premier League and the Champions League. I actually think if we get in the Champions League, it'll be 1 year in and we're out again. I don't think we are anywhere near set up to sustainably stay in the top four and compete in the Champions League. I actually think we would get in and drop straight back out. We'd have 1 year of good revenue and then we'd be straight back out. The club's just not set up for it. We're not thinking long term. We're not building long term. We're not building a squad that's capable. Hi, Mark. Nothing won't change until those prats have gone. We're still a sinking ship getting deeper. It would take a long time to get back to the surface. Ineos and Glazers out, says Mark. Palmer to United, yes or no? Spin continues, says Sam. I feel like a fool, but I want Carrick as coach, says Liffer. I mean, mate, look, to be honest with you, you're not a fool. If you're a Man United fan and you're starting to think that you want Carrick, that's just the naivety of being a football fan. Or even, you know, an even nicer word, that's just the emotion of being a football fan. It's impossible to, it's impossible for football fans to think long term. You know, you go game to game, you win a game, your head says, we can't get behind this manager. But then you go, we've just beat Man City. I want him to get the job. I like him. It's there's no logic being a football fan sometimes. So you're not a fool for wanting Michael Carrick to be the manager. But the board is. The board are morons. I wouldn't call a Man United fan a moron if they want to give a job to Michael Carrick. I'd say it's laughable, but I wouldn't say you're a moron because you're led by your emotions. This is what we did with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I was one of the people outside Old Trafford singing Ollie's at the wheel. And I feel a bit silly for doing it, but as fans, you're allowed to get emotional. But the board aren't. The board can't start dancing around and doing it either. The board have to be responsible. They have to be intelligent. They have to take emotion out of it. I saw something today, actually. You just reminded me. I'll bring it in. It came in from, I think it was, let me get it here. Came in from Jeremy Cross, who's a journalist. Look, take it with a pinch of salt, but it's news. The executive meeting that had been planned to take place in Monaco, Carrick said he couldn't justify travelling to the south of France when he had important work to do on the training pitch. He told his bosses he would be adapting a different approach to training and match preparation, that he was invested in quality more than quantity, talking to each other player and being honest, however brutal that might be at times, was just as valuable as having the ball at their feet on the training ground. Club sources say Sir Jim Ratcliffe was very impressed with the calm and intelligent demeanour of his new interim manager. I mean, that to me is terrifying, because as fans, you can fall for it. It doesn't matter. It's emotion without responsibility. But if Sir Jim Ratcliffe is sitting there going, well, you know, I actually like Michael. You know, I think he might be the right guy. It's the same old bullshit of, wow, you know, end of the day, you know, Dan Ashworth is a 10 out of 10 director of football, you know, and you know, at the end of the day, Ruben is here for 3 years. At the end of the day, we've had a think about Eric, and we're going to keep him, and we're going to give him £300 million. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, I talk shit and get proven wrong all the time. And it's scary. It's very scary, and it's very real that Sir Jim Ratcliffe could be impressed by Michael Carrick and go, there's a three-year contract. And that's what scares me. I don't mind fans saying give him a three-year contract. You know, that's why we're not running football clubs. We're emotional people who get emotional about things. But it terrifies me that Sir Jim Ratcliffe will sit there and go, well, he's cheap. He's a puppet. He'll do as he's told. He's very, very intelligent. He's a very nice person. He's nice to Jason. He's nice to Omar. He's nice to me. He's cheap. He's played for the club before. The fans really like him. He's cheap. He's not going to be too demanding in the transfer market. He's a good shield for us from the fans because he's a club legend. He's cheap. We won't have to spend loads on his coaching team because they're cheap. He's the sort of manager that might be able to keep us hovering around fifth place for the next few years while we build a stadium, and he's cheap. And I think that's what scares me about this, is that I don't think it will take that much. Take Michael Carrick out of it, and whatever you think, just think about your board. Think about the first 20 minutes of this show. Think about the sinking revenue. Think about how the club is falling. Think about the money problems. Now, if you're in charge of that football club, do you want to go and invest another £200 million on another manager and his staff and the manager? Or do you want to work with somebody that's desperate to stay cheap and will work pretty predominantly with what he's got and do what Jason Wilcox says? I think it's inevitable that they're going to push the Carrick. Now, you might be happy with that as a fan. You might be not happy with that as a fan. I'm not talking about your opinion as a fan. We can have that conversation. I'm talking about a board that's financially in trouble, that gets shit all the time, who I think will do exactly, scarily, what we did with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and do exactly the same thing again and go with an interim to protect themselves in the short term that is cheap and a yes man. And I think we're heading straight towards that again. Absolutely. It's terrifying, but I think we will do it. I think we will. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting Carrick. I'm not going to slag you off for it. What I'm saying is the board shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be going anywhere near this. In fact, they shouldn't even be keeping an open mind. It should be an absolute public statement that under no circumstances will Michael Carrick get this job. We are not going down that route. That is not our vision. They should have a vision in January 2026 that isn't Michael Carrick in the summer of 2026. And nothing should change that. They should be absolutely working their arse off talking to managers for the summer now. They shouldn't be going, well, maybe we'll give it to Carrick, because it will end in disaster. It will 100% end in disaster. Maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, maybe 1 year. But we shouldn't be doing it. But again, would I be surprised? No, because we've just spent 20 minutes talking about how they're ruining the club. And part of ruining the club is continually making bad decisions. And they will continue to do that. And Carrick is cheap. And I think they will stick with him. Somebody just said, why are you ruling it out? I'm not ruling it out. I'm talking about the decisions that the incompetent board will make for different reasons to us. You might want him to get the job if he wins 10 games in a row because you're like, I genuinely believe he could be the next Sir Alex Ferguson. We don't have that evidence yet, but you might do that. They'll do it for a different reason. My stance is not until April do you even start thinking about it. And even if you want to do it, you still interview a load of other people in the summer. You don't just give it to Carrick, because that's what we did with Ollie. You've got to interview everybody else, because you might think Carrick's good. And then you interview Tuchel and you go, yeah, he's on a different level. You've got to interview everybody else in the summer. You can't just give it to Carrick. Even if we get Champions League football, you can't do that. Simply because you look at, I mean, Ryan Mason did well at Spurs. Is he the Spurs manager? You know, there aren't many interims who become permanent who do well. And there's a reason for that. Feel good factor. Everybody's in it together. The minute you become a permanent manager, you've got to upset people. You've got to say you're going, the, I've got to bring in them and them in. Interim managers, it's a false economy, because everybody knows it's short term. They know it's short term. So you cut corners. You don't make the difficult decisions. You know, Michael Carrick, for example, might be in there and he might go, you know what? I really do want to get rid of Maguire and Casemiro in the summer. But for now, I'm not even going to mention it, because I need them now. And then in the summer, if he gets the job, he's like, I need you to go. And then people go, oh, look at the way he treated that. You know, and it becomes very different. But as an interim, you've just got a very simple job. You don't have to think about long-term decisions. You don't have to think about hurting people. Do fans realise if Glynios build a stadium, the club will be in $2.5 billion of new debt? Yeah. And I mentioned this last night, and I think it's a conversation that, well, look, protests are happening, aren't they? The club is sinking financially already. We're not doing particularly well on the pitch. So them announcing the new stadium and a load more debt, you know, will that go down well? Owners are going to milk the club dry, then leave, says Chickens. And so Jim Radcliffe, in his tenure, has done more damage along with the Glazers, have sunk the club, and it's still sinking. It's a disgrace what they're doing to our club, says Daniel Thompson. Amit says, United went from Gryffindor to Hufflepuff. Okay. Of course, being funded helps these figures. Inflated sponsorship are now allowed. United don't do any of that. Could easily have 500 million Ineos sponsorships, says Andy Hale. Yeah, but what we're talking about is still revenue, isn't it? And you have clarified yourself better, because first of all, it sounded like you were saying, well, we can't compete with Real Madrid because of that. You're right. Look at what Aston Villa have done in selling their women's team. Look at what Chelsea have done in selling hotels. Ineos could get 10, 20 million pounds into the club straight away by calling it, you know, by sponsoring Ineos at Old Trafford or something like that. They don't want to put their money in. It's a fair point. But look, these football clubs are built on wanting to be successful. These football clubs are built on, they are businesses, but think about Real Madrid, think about Manchester City, is that they are, how do I put this? They may be criticised. you know, the Saudis having control of Newcastle, if they could spend, would make Newcastle probably the best club in the world or one of the best clubs in the world. And you get criticised for that. But there is a hypocrisy, huge hypocrisy in our fan base, because we look at Man City, we look at PSG, we look at Newcastle and go, it's immoral. It's immoral how these rich people can come in, buy football clubs and pump money in to be successful. It's immoral. It's immoral. It's immoral. And maybe it is. Maybe it is immoral. But
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Is it not immoral for a football club, an institution that people died playing for in Munich, that has been through so many ups and downs? One of the greatest footballs in sport, one of the great stories in sport, Manchester United, tragedy, success, that gets acquired by a bunch of bankers who buy it on debt, not their own money, leveraged debt that they pay off with our profit and are allowed to do that for 25 years. Well, I'm sorry, if somebody rich wants to buy Newcastle and pump their money in it to make them good, that might be immoral. But what the Glazers have done to Man United, well, it's criminal. It's not immoral, it's criminal. How it's been allowed to happen, how they're still here to this amazing football club, is a disgrace. So, I think I've changed my approach in relation to Newcastle and PSG and Man City. Maybe it's not good for football, but I tell you what, compared to what we've got going on, I'd rather have that as a problem than this as a problem. I'd rather have an owner where everyone's going, it's immoral what you're doing. You've sold your soul. They're just pumping money in. I'd rather have that and get to watch good football than what we get from people who shouldn't be anywhere near this football club. I just don't think we have a case to answer anymore when we criticise PSG or Man City or Newcastle or Real Madrid or Barcelona or anyone else. Even Barcelona with their levers. Is that right? But why are they doing it? They're pulling all those levers. You know, they're selling their toilet paper rights or whatever they sell. They're pulling all those levers because they want to compete with Real Madrid. They want to win things. It was only about 5 years ago where, how many years ago was it that Barcelona let Messi go? And it was like people were crying at the stadium. It was a huge moment in football. Barcelona had to sell Messi. Messi. They had to sell Messi to basically survive. And now they're winning La Liga again. They're performing good football again because in a short period of time, they've gone from being on their arse to being back. We've been shit for 13 years. All because the owners are shite. It's criminal how long Man United have been irrelevant. You know, you go on holiday and you speak to like people from Spain or America or whatever, and you talk about Man United, and non-Man United fans will talk to you and go, I just can't believe you're not in the Champions League. I can't believe like how big a club you are and how long you've been shit, basically. It is embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. And we have been bad for so long. Like, we are the Real Madrid of England. We are the PSG of England. We are the Bayern Munich of England. But none of those clubs would be in the wilderness for 13 years. They bounce back because they've got people in charge and fans that are like, well, this is not acceptable. Pull a few levers, get some investment in. We've got to be the best. But we're not, because we just don't employ best in class. We end up with absolute morons in charge of the club running it. Are you feeling confident that we can get a result against Arsenal, says Ron? Well, I know this morning's been very heavy on bigger picture, but it's a preview live at 8 o'clock tonight for the Arsenal game. So we'll go through all that. I've got a lot of stuff I want to say. Slazy says, interim managers are like substitute teachers. It's fun because we get away from the boring and demanding teacher, but in the end, we don't learn anything. Very, very good analogy. I like it. Emery to United with his Villa PSR frustrations. He's going to have a lot more frustrations at Man United, J3. Man United are always looking for a quick fix. Everything they do is for a quick fix rather than build little by little, says Dylan. Yeah, Dylan. But you know what? I almost agree and disagree. Because in football, I think you've got to go long term, but short term. And I think with Amorim, when you look at his win ratio, I think Amorim should have stayed till the end of the season. I think he should have been backed in January and stayed till the end of the season. But forget Amorim. Let's talk about Sir Jim, Berarda, Wilcox, the Glazers, right? What they did with Amorim was go long-term. It's a long-term. And people were going, but look at the win ratio. Like, look at how we're playing. You know, okay, you can see a long-term plan, but why haven't you bought a midfielder? Why haven't you bought wing-backs? Why are you talking about next summer? Why with Amorim, everything was like in the future. And that's fine, but you've also got to deliver now. Now, they should have bought midfielders for Amorim. They should have bought him wing-backs. They should have done those things, but they didn't. They went long-term. Are they going to keep doing that with the next manager? Because there's a right way of doing it. Look at Manchester City. It's a long-term plan with a short-term plan. It's Semenyu and Gehi now to help the team now. But in the summer, it was people like Cherki, who is a bit of a long-term signing. And a year ago, they brought a couple of players in that were more long-term as well. Kucherov, the midfielder. So Man City do it the right way. They bring long-term and short-term in. So you've always got players that can help you now, brought in, but also players for the future as well. And ultimately, they're bringing players in. We don't bring players in January. So I think in football, because it's a results business, you've got to be winning now and for the long term. Look at Arsenal. Look at what Arsenal did in the summer. Hincape, Kepa, Norgard, Gyökeres, Madueke, Eze, and I feel I'm going to miss somebody else as well. Mascara. Not many learner drivers there. Quite a few players ready to go now, but also a bit of an eye on the future as well. That's how you do it. You go for the now and you go for the future as well. Zubimendi, that was the other one as well. Zubimendi for now, you know. And look, I saw somebody say, well, yeah, we might be fourth in the revenue league, but look who's in the top three, the Champions League whores. I thought that's a bit harsh. But I think what they meant is, well, yeah, the reason Man United are in fourth is because Man City and Arsenal and Liverpool have been in the Champions League more than us. Yeah. Well, what's the answer then? Exactly. They're in the Champions League because they're better than us, because they've got owners that are building teams for the now. Of course they're going to earn more money. Hello? If you're in the Champions League and you're not in Europe, there's going to be a big difference in your revenue, isn't there? Why aren't we in Europe? Well, there's only one reason we're not in Europe. And that's because of the people who run the club. We can change the managers as much as we like. But, ultimately, the people who run the place are responsible for it. History has shown how bad owners can ruin clubs, says Neumann. Blackburn Rovers were once a mighty club, now fighting to stay up from relegation. Let's force them out. Ahmad says, I don't know what Ahmad says. He's on one today. Welcome to Members Club NK. You're an absolute legend. Thanks for getting your badge in. And Emmy says, the Barca example is well cited. They bounced back up in no time because sporting excellence was their primary objective, not commercial success. But you know what? It's been said many times because it is true. If Man United win the Premier League and it costs you $500 million to do it, you're going to make a shitload of that $500 million back. And you're going to be in the Champions League. So if you spend $500 million on players to win the Premier League, it's only an example. I'm not saying we could win the Premier League by winning $500 million. But if Man United spent $500 million to win the Premier League, straight away you're in the Champions League. So that's $100 million that we're not getting. So that's $400 million. Right? Plus There's going to be a load of extras for that in relation to shirt sales, pipe, everything like that. If you win the Premier League, there's a very high chance that you're a good team that's going to be in the Champions League for the next couple of years anyway. So that's another 200 million coming in. It's not long before that expenditure is going to feed more money coming in. But if you don't spend that half a billion, all right, you don't spend it. But also you're not in the Champions League for the next 3 years. That's 300 million you're not getting. My point is, in football, if you spend, you probably will get it back in the modern day. Maybe not 20 years ago, but now, if you spend, you will get the money back. It's only in recent years that you were basically guaranteed £100 million for being in the Champions League. So that's why Arsenal went and bought half a fucking team in the summer. That's why Liverpool did it as well. The money you get from the Champions League is incredible. And if you can get into the Club World Cup, that's another £100 million, isn't it, every 4 years? So you can project expenditure against income. And that's what clubs are doing now. Arsenal were never really massive spenders, but they're now going, well, look, we've been in the Champions League the last 3 years in a row. We're good enough. We're always going to be in it. We can afford to spend. Our fan base is growing. You know, the stadium's full every week. Speculate to accumulate. United just don't do it. They're like, well, we don't want to. Whose money are we going to spend? I'm not spending. The Glazers are like, well, we're not spending my money. And Sir Jim's like, we're not spending my money. So it's sort of like, well, you know, let's just potter along and see what happens. But look, this is an entertainment sport. It's not meant to be a business. Unfortunately, we are being run by a business. But Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, they're not businesses. They're football clubs. Their reputation is football. They're big names because of winning football games. They're not big names because they're next door to HSBC Bank. It's football. You've got to win football matches. It's a competitive sport. There's only a limited pool of managers and good players. You've got to get them at your club. That costs money, but they will bring money in. People are going to start switching off from Man United. Every business has long-term goals supplemented by short-term ones. We claim to have long-term aims, but subvert them when the decision's made in the short term. It's totally counterproductive. Look, Patrick, you're right. Even the United stand has long-term projections against short-term. Short-term is what we're doing today. We've got a 10 o'clock show, 2 o'clock show, 8 o'clock show. There's a match at the weekend. You know, when's the preview? There's short-term goals that you have to hit. There's then long-term things like we're doing a live show in Dublin or, you know, we're going to be going on tour in the summer or, you know, we're going to sack. I'm not going to tell you. We're not sacking anyone. But you know what I mean? Or we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Or we're in talks with this. That's any business. But you've got to look after the short term. Glinios don't want to win because if we do, they need to invest and they can't compete with other good owners. All they need is TV rights, hence top four. So Stretford Signal. It's incredible because I literally said this yesterday and I think a lot of people have figured this out. I think there is a document or a hidden conversation. Maybe they only do it verbally, so only a few people know. But I guarantee you, in that boardroom, they have sat there and said, if we can finish fifth for the next 10 years, we'll be fine. And that rips your heart out as a fan to know that there are people in power dictating the emotions of millions of fans saying, if we can finish fifth for the next 10 years, we'll be fine. And I guarantee it. I'd love to get into a room and interview one of them because I'd get it out of them, as I'm sure you would. Not with violence or anything like that. I just think you'd be able to ask certain questions and send them down an alleyway where they'd get stuck. And that those questions would be, why Man United not winning the Premier League? How are we going to win the Premier League? What's your plan to win the Premier League? How much are you going to invest to win the Premier League? Why aren't you spending that money to win the Premier League? You know, you'd have them going no comment in a very, very, very quick period of time because they wouldn't be able to deal with the bombardment of moving them down an alleyway of where they actually are. Fifth place is where they want to be. I'm absolutely convinced by it. I mean, Omar Berada basically let the cat out of the bag a few months ago anyway, didn't he? When he said ahead of the Europa League final that we've factored in qualifying for the Europa League final for the next 2 or 3 years. So they've already run what football club runs the numbers on we're okay for in the Europa League for the next 3 years? What football club does that? Do you think Liverpool sit there and go, it's okay? It's okay. The only reason you run the numbers about being in the Europa League for the next 3 years is when you're projecting what you want to spend. So if the Glazers and Sir Jim say to Omar, we only want to spend this much, and then Omar goes, okay, that's doable as long as we're in the Europa League for the next few years. That's why they're running those numbers. So I'm absolutely convinced that their projections are based on fifth place for the next 10 years. Which is not acceptable, is it? Tom says, morning, everyone. Nothing will change till Glinios are gone. No matter how good the results or signings, we will not stop protesting till they're gone. Thank you very much, Tom. History has shown, and we've done that from Noman as well. But look, you know what? We are our own worst enemy in a way, because it was a fantastic result on Saturday. And there's been a lot of, you know, justifiable happiness. But how many times have we done that in the last 13 years? How many times have we beaten Liverpool, Anfield, Wan Mata? How many times have we beaten Man City? Multiple times. We will not be successful over 38 games. We are not run in that way. However, we can turn up on occasion and do something like we did on Saturday. But where's the consistency going to come from? Look, for the next few weeks, it's interim. It's like that substitute teacher. Everyone's enjoying themselves because it's not real. Like, maybe we will go and win a load of games, but we fucked the season up anyway, haven't we? Really? You know, we're not in the FA Cup, we're not in Europe, and we're not in the Carabao Cup. I mean, God, these lads should be playing well for 90 minutes every bloody week. You know, they've had a holiday this year. I mean, it's amazing we've got any injuries, because it's the easiest season they'll ever have in their careers. I mean, they're basically getting a season off ahead of the World Cup. Every international manager should be calling up Man United players going, they've hardly played at all. It's like a new signing. So we should go and get some results over the next few weeks, because we're going to be playing teams that have played a lot of football. Next season, I think it'll be back to reality, whoever the manager is. The only reason they don't want to spend on the team is because they don't trust the team. An owner who doesn't trust his own team will never succeed, says Doku. Mate, I think that's a load of bollocks. So you think Sir Jim Ratcliffe sits there saying, I don't want to spend on the team because I don't trust it. So basically what he's saying is, I'm the owner and I don't want to spend money on my team because I don't trust it. That's exactly the reason you would spend money, because you don't rate it. If I've got a striker I don't like, I'm not going to spend any money on a better striker because I don't trust that striker. Of course you're going to go and spend the money. Plus, you're also making the mistake that they actually know what they're on about, which they don't. Cole Palmer is supposedly frustrated with Chelsea's lack of vision. Oh, yeah. Eric. Yeah. I mean, great, Eric. So Cole Palmer is frustrated with Chelsea's lack of vision and wants to sign for Man United. I tell you what, we've got such a lack of vision, we're blind. So I don't know. I mean, Cole Palmer being frustrated at Chelsea and signing for Man United. I mean, there's an analogy there that's just a mic drop. And, even as somebody who likes analogies, I can't think what it is. It's like, you know what it is? It's like having your finger in your fishing bowl, in your fish bowl, and your goldfish is nibbling on your finger and you're going, this is painful. So you go and jump into the sea with a great white shark and you think it's going to be better. It's literally out of the frying pan and into the fire, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, he'd have to be a different level of stupid to sign for Manchester United. I think he's a childhood Man United fan and I think he's from Manchester. So maybe that would be a reason. But he'd be a bloody moron to come and play for this club. Let's get real. He's not fingering his goldfish. That's disgusting. The goldfish is nibbling on his finger. On FM26, I sold Bruno and Xerxes, Martinez and Mainu, Paz at 10 and a 110. Take the job, Junkyard, James. You can have the job. There we go. I'm going to stop there, but a fantastic show this morning. We have got a live 8 o'clock preview of the Arsenal game tonight. Definitely tune in for that, because I love a live preview. We've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock with Beth as well. So always like that show. You can get some latest stuff on what's happening. Apparently Real Madrid don't want Ruben Neves. So Ruben Neves is still out there, isn't he? But you know, whether United are going to do anything or not, I don't know. I mean, look, when you look at the revenue and everything else like that, you can see. I mean, where's all this money coming from in the summer, by the way? Reduced revenue. We're going to get reduced revenue again. Where is all the money going to come from for this? That's what worries me next. You get you know, you get the client journalists talking about United don't want to spend in January because they want to go big in the summer. I guarantee we start getting those same journalists in April going, you know, with the issues with the team, United can't spend any money. We'll have to wait and see. Don't forget to smash the like button on your way out, as per Gabrielle. Legends, thanks everyone for tuning in. Really enjoyed it with you this morning, and I'll speak to you all a little bit later. Take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.